Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study Course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Treating Panic Attacks and Anxiety Disorders. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with panic attacks and anxiety disorders. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or, if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable, thus we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of the content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from the hearing of the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as manifestations of anxiety, gradations of anxiety intensity, identifying panic disorder in clients, unrelated conditions and symptoms connected to panic disorder, depression, simple phobias, substance abuse, obsessive-compulsive disorder, social avoidant behaviors, agoraphobia in childhood, panic disorder, travel anxiety and panic disorder, exercise and diet, and relaxation exercises. So let's get started. Many times when a client experiences anxiety, he or she may not believe that they are suffering from an anxiety disorder. The common conception of anxiety is that it gives him or her the extra drive he or she needs to get the job done. However, there is a great deal of difference between normal anxiety and abnormal anxiety. Would you agree? On this track, we will examine the three basic manifestations of anxiety, which are adaptive anxiety, unadaptive anxiety, and agoraphobia. First, we will discuss normal or adaptive anxiety. Normal anxiety is an anxiety response to stimulus situations objectively associated with danger. This type of anxiety is known to be adaptive. This type of anxiety actually helps a client who needs the extra push to complete a task or make a decision that would otherwise have been left undone. Also, Clients who experience anxiety before a surgery are less likely to experience post-operative depression. Dr. Thomas B. Hackett stated, "I think that not only psychological morbidity, but also physical morbidity is lowered in individuals who have appropriate anxiety before surgery." As you can see, normal anxiety can be a useful tool in aiding a client throughout stressful periods. Because anxiety is an associated feature of many other psychiatric disorders, it becomes difficult to discern whether the acute anxiety that the client feels is the disorder itself or an associated feature of another disorder. Also, the symptoms of anxiety may be confused with physical illness. For example, how many times have you heard of a patient rushing into the emergency room for a heart attack, and it was found out that they were only having an anxiety attack? Unadaptive or abnormal anxiety arises from no specific cause or danger. This type of anxiety is much more severe, intense, and pervasive than adaptive anxiety. In essence, when the level of anxiety is considerable, it begins to affect and impair other behaviors as well. Muscle tension impairs motor skills, mental concentration is very often inhibited, and social functioning may also be impeded. To determine adaptive from unadaptive anxiety, many physicians use three factors. If the severity of the anxiety bears little relationship to the situation, if the anxiety interferes with the capacity to experience satisfaction or pleasure, and if the anxiety restricts normal activity. Peggy was a 53-year-old client of mine. Her entire life, she had been generally known as high-strung and nervous. Peggy tended to have trouble relaxing, was often restless, and felt shaky inside. She worried a lot, particularly about her children, finances, and about how others saw her. Peggy usually always felt better if she was active and busy. Peggy stated, "If I sit down, all my fear catches up with me, and I hate that feeling. I'd rather be productive than be overwhelmed by my worry." However, as the day began to wind down, it seemed harder to avoid her problems and keep her feelings in check. As a result, Peggy had trouble falling asleep at times. She knew that when she was tense and under stress, the muscles of her neck contracted and she had terrible headaches. Not only that, but Peggy was also prone to gastrointestinal ailments such as indigestion, nausea, and diarrhea. When feeling overwhelmed, Peggy's physical and emotional symptoms escalated and she experienced vague feelings that something terrible was going to happen. Frustrated and alone, Peggy feared going crazy or losing control. As you can see, Peggy's anxiety had reached such a pitch that she could no longer feel satisfaction in her life. Obviously, Peggy was suffering from unadaptive anxiety that began to inhibit the other aspects of her life. Peggy used activity to keep her mind off of her other many worries. By doing this, however, she was merely avoiding her anxiety and not addressing it. To help Peggy move beyond merely occupying herself and actually cope with these overwhelming feelings of panic, I suggested she try the sit, don't run technique. I asked Peggy to complete the following steps when she felt her unfounded anxiety creeping up on her and she greatly desired to divert herself with activity. 1. Slow down and stop. Don't run away. Sit down if possible. Take several slow, deep abdominal breaths. Inhale slowly. Hold. Exhale slowly. 2. Feel your body's heaviness. Allow gravity to pull at you, tug at you in a downward direction. Become completely passive. 3. Think health. Remind yourself that you're healthy and stop scaring yourself. 4. Allow time for that panicky feeling to pass. When a high level of stress chemicals are already coursing through your bloodstream, it takes a few moments for them to dissipate. After completing this exercise, Peggy stated, "Incredibly, I don't feel that feeling as much anymore. Well, it still comes and goes, but I don't have to be doing anything to avoid it. I can just sit down and accept it." As you can see, by allowing herself to feel the panic and not let it control her, Peggy could more effectively begin to address her anxiety. In addition to adaptive and unadaptive anxiety, the third type of disorder stemming from anxiety is agoraphobia. Agoraphobia, as you are aware, is the fear of having a panic attack in certain places where there would be no help, Agoraphobia can quickly lead into fear of certain public places, closed-in areas, animals, or people that the agoraphobic client associates with panic attacks. Stuart was an agoraphobic client of mine who had developed a fear of a certain busy street on which he had a panic attack. During this panic attack, Stuart had severe hyperventilation, dizziness, and chest pain. Even though the street had been full of people, no one had helped him. Finally, Stuart had been able to find his way back home, despite the overpowering symptoms. Because of this incident, Stuart had developed a fear of that specific street and had maintained this fear for several years. We will discuss agoraphobia and techniques for treating it more thoroughly on another track. On this track, we discussed the three basic manifestations of anxiety, which were adaptive anxiety, unadaptive anxiety, and agoraphobia. On the next track, we will examine three gradations of anxiety intensity, which are spontaneous anxiety, situational anxiety, and anticipatory anxiety. Question 1. What are three basic manifestations of anxiety?